Hi there, welcome to Halos of Home, a Radio Mariam podcast. I'm Serena, and today's episode we have Romeo. Could you introduce yourself for us quickly, please?
Hi, my name is Romeo Zizian. I'm in my mid-20s. I'm here in Armenia, and it's been one trip of a ride. I'm looking forward to this place. And I'm a software engineer that's trying to get into comedy and social media contenting.
Question one, what is well-being to you and how can we maximize our well-being?
You know, well-being, I'm like a really big health guy. I think health is above everything and wellness is a big factor of health. A lot of people are like talking about mental health and stuff and I fully advocate it, right? Because there's a lot of sensitive words out there with anxiety and depression, and if you have one of those things or you're not thinking clearly, it's going to really ruin your quality of life. Yeah, I think with well-being, sure, you can have moments of you're just very angry or upset at whatever the cause is, right? Yeah. But I feel like as long as you have hope or towards a goal, you'll feel better. There's a security of purpose and fulfillment in that part of your life or just your life in general. And I feel like if you don't have that and you're feeling like happy in the moment, that's just a high and it's going to crash down. And you're going to really be in like a negative state of mind. So that's what I think of well-being. You got to work on your well-being, you know? Do good things that make you feel good.
So sense of purpose would be central to having a sense of well-being. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it is. Because it gives you security. And things change too. Your purpose has changed as well.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is it's important to have goals because that gives you a good well state of a good, healthy mind.
Yes.
A big part of it for me, at least.
Does your goal have to involve always moving forward, or could your goal simply be that I just want to enjoy the present moment and not necessarily need to be accelerating all the time?
Well, there's a time and place for everything. If you deep down feel like you need to move forward, you're going to move forward. You have to follow your intuition of what pace you got to go. Like a very general aspect of things.
How do you approach pace when you're setting goals for yourself? How do you ensure that you're not going too hard?
I mean, that's why you have to push your limits, you know? You got to see what's fast enough and what's not. And I'm always trying to do things the most efficient as possible. And as in like fast and less resources within the mind and brain power and thinking. Sometimes life just forces you to slow down. And that's happened to me recently in the past year or two. And then you learn to figure out to go with being at like a slower pace of things. Because like the environment I'm from, everything's really fast, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to work on how to find that pace of moving forward, halting, trying to go in the right direction, using intuition.
Can you explain that? How would you use intuition to see the pace that you should be setting and what direction you should be going in?
So let's say you have a social media platform, shout out. Ha ha hi, Aston, all right? You have a social media platform and you want to take this to the next level. You know, you want to make people laugh that are like Armenian or around Armenians, stuff like that, right? So what I'm thinking is, okay, I want to have people satisfied and watching my content. I want people to actually take a deep breath and laugh, okay? In a pace, it's like, okay, I got to edit videos. I got to learn really quickly how to edit videos because I don't know how to edit videos. So I have to try to find that pace in learning what I'm doing in order to make people laugh. And it takes time, of course. Sometimes, like, I don't make people laugh. I make people actually very upset because I say something very sensitive. Then it forces me to go slower. And then usually when you go slower, you have to be in a very reflective state. So that's the natural pace of things. Like, how can I still keep going fast if I say something very sensitive and I get canceled, you know? Well, am I going to still keep making videos and edit them? No, I got canceled. There's no point. This situation I got put in is forcing me to slow down and think what I've done. So
how is that connected with intuition?
Because intuition is telling me, hey, you can't keep going fast. My body, my state of mind is telling me you need to slow down. You need to reflect and like be in like a better state of mind. State of mind connects to well-being, and well-being connects to like your quality of life.
So well-being is not necessarily always needing to be moving forward, but sometimes just being content with where you're at and evaluating for yourself.
Yeah, there's a time and place for everything. Yeah. So, and that's very important in my opinion.
How does it connect to health?
Because if you keep going forward and you're not listening to yourself, you either burn out or the universe puts you in like a really shitty situation. What does the universe put you in a really situation? You ruin your relationships. People don't like you, and that's going to affect your well-being. Then that ties into your quality of life.
Yeah.
So.
Is it possible to be well even when everything in your life is going against you? So other people looking at your life would think, okay, surely this person must be struggling or not doing well, but actually you right. have a higher purpose or you have this contentment that exceeds even your troubled circumstances.
Yeah. It's your job to figure out how to get well after that. So let's say you get laid off from your job, right? Mm. You have a mortgage and you can't pay it off anymore. So you're homeless. What do you do when you're homeless? You still have to figure out your peace. So I obviously haven't been put in that situation. I mean, we could talk about it, but like if I were to put myself in a homeless person's shoes and I got laid off and I have no home and it affects my relationships, it affects me eating food, I'm going to have to figure out what my peace of mind is in that scenario. Even if I'm in prison, I still have to figure out the best case scenario of where I can get to from my well-stated being. I have to optimize it.
Is it a luxury having space to think about your peace of mind? Because
100%.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in prison, being brainwashed all the time, indoctrinated, you probably won't even have the luxury to be able to reflect because you're in this mental state of just survival.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the word luxury. I would say more like privilege.
Privilege, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the difference in that context?
Well, when you think of luxury, it's like a few people can have it, right? Mm. But like privilege is more like, okay, it's not a luxury for me to be looking down upon people. It's a privilege as in like, I'm grateful for like, having like, this peaceful state of mind. When you think of luxury, I think like, okay, it's like very top of the top. Most people can't obtain it. I mean, it could fall into privilege too, but like I'd say in like a more humble way. The state of mind is more of like a privilege. It's like a more humble perspective.
A more humble perspective than...
Like more grounded. Think of like it's a peace of mind, you know? That privilege.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, what is the most well that you've felt in your life? And what was going on during your life in this period?
Wow. That's a crazy question.
Yeah, I know.
What's the most peaceful I've been?
If you think wellness, if you'd say it's the same as peacefulness, then sure.
I have two stories that come into mind, but I don't know how long I can go. I'm trying to get to the point and say my thing. Picture this, right? I'm in college, okay? Mm. I'm doing a degree. The biggest purpose of this degree is to make money and provide financial stability. The reason why for financial stability, because growing up, there was a lot of financial instability and it's traumatizing, you know? So at this point, it's like, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to do whatever it is. And I need to not be financially unstable. What do? I choose a degree that's going to make me good money. So I chose computer science. At the time, it wasn't for like building or making the world a better place. It was for me have like a stable home, not having to worry about bills, not having to worry about putting food on the table, having the privilege of having a clear mind and being able to think, you know? Because I feel like having a good financial gives leeway to giving thinking space. And I feel like most Armenians think like that too. I'm no different, to be honest. But I'm not going to get too deep into my life story. But like, I thought this was the main way. Like, I'm going to go make money and stuff and give money to like, my family and loved ones, right? Yeah. Like, it wasn't even just going to be for me, you know? So I ended up getting a job at Lockheed Martin, which I ended up paying six figures, which was really good. And I was able to provide financials to my parents. I'm not going to say like, how much, but it felt like really good, you know? If my mom or dad needed anything crazy, which has happened, I'm not going to specify when and where, I was able to provide financials, you know? And, you know, it just felt good. Like, I worked tirelessly. Like, I sacrificed a lot of nights going out. I sacrificed a lot of sleep. There was times like, I didn't really eat. And it really drived me, you know? What's the story with this? I mean, it ties back to what I was saying before, like having a goal and envisioning what life would be when you accomplish that thing, you know? Mm. It's something so shallow. Not shallow, but like, I don't know the word, but...
That's the least shallow reason. It sounds like you weren't even thinking about yourself.
No, I wasn't. You're right. You know, to this day, I still can't explain. I still can't describe what that moment was.
Yeah.
But builds character. So it felt good. And then I got laid off and now I'm starting from zero. But even if I got laid off, I can go get a job and still get a good high paying job. But it's probably not going to be the best for my mental, but family is one of the most important things in life, you know? The people around you, at least.
Why do you value family so much?
Because you want to feel value. You want to feel someone to talk to. You want to share experience with, you know? Mm. You don't want to feel alone and by yourself.
Mm.
It's very isolating and leads to a lot of overthinking and like other mental issues. You know, a lot of people say relationships and family is the most important, you know? I'm sure they'll get a better reasoning to me, but to me it's like I get to share my experiences with another, like I get to express love, gratitude. It makes me feel more centered to the world, you know?
Is it family or relationships in general?
It's both, really. Some people grow up in broken homes and then they have to go and find like other relationships to compensate, you know, having people that value them and could help uplift them in some type of way. So, wow, this is getting too deep. I shouldn't be getting this deep.
Why?
I haven't got deep like this in a minute. I don't know. Usually when I get too vulnerable, I feel like someone's gonna like... But this is not the time and place, of course. It's just... It feels good, you know?
That's good.
I haven't been vulnerable like this in a minute. That's why I was like, I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'm looking forward to this too because I want to see if people can relate and... get some wisdom out of this too. That's what I hope, you know? So, everyone can learn something new.
Let's talk a bit about sacrifice. How do you understand sacrifice? And can you take it too far that you end up being unbalanced in terms of wellness?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a fantastic question. Back to that point where I was sacrificing not eating because I was so zoned in to getting this assignment down and locking in. Getting an internship that pays well, that can lead to a full-time offer that will provide you financial stability. Honestly, it would just be the pettiest things too, you know? Like, it's not just sacrifice too. It also teaches you how to be a better person, in my opinion. Because there was also a point in time, this is like another crazy story, right? So remember how I told you, like, main goal is to get some financial stability, you know? Buy a piece of time and not have to worry about like, bills and like food on the table, right?
Yeah.
I thought one thing I can do was join a fraternity. Crazy, right?
Is it crazy? Isn't that common?
No, people want to join fraternities to like go have fun and drink and blow steam because they're just stressed out of their lives, you know? To me, I was like, wait, a fraternity can be like a great networking opportunity. I have brothers with me that like, I go through very horrible things. Like, I'm talking about like forcefully getting drunk and people being very intoxicated. It's bad, you know? Do you want someone to make you drink upon against your will? No, it's terrible, right? It was all a sacrifice because, like, okay, if I have people around me in this fraternity, like, okay, I might find like, my next co-founder here. I might find like, someone that can like, enlighten me here. More as like a co-founder or networking to get my foot into a door. Because one of these guys might be their dad works for like a VP of like a big bank. Or their dad is like a high executive in like a big tech company. You know, I didn't even drink in high school. This was all bestowed to me in my fraternity era. Just because I wanted to get some networking, you know? I didn't think it was that bad at the time, but... When you drink too much and you have an addictive personality, it gets bad, you know? You can't be sacrificing too much now, you know? You gotta think long term. Like, I had to keep good ties with these people because some people were very smart and they had big, big connections. Someone that I knew someone that was in Y Combinator. Y Combinator is what got companies to go from 0 to 100. Google, Airbnb. I knew another guy that his dad worked in like a big consulting firm. So I was like, okay, like, I can't break my ties with these people. I have to be like very calculated. Sometimes there are moments in life you just have to think like chess, you know? It's such an Armenian thing to say. What's another thing besides sacrificing my health for like financials? You know, I grew up, my parents were like, very selfless people. Not even to me, but to other people as well. To give you like a crazy example, like, my dad barely knew someone and he had like, two houses at the time. And he would just let someone stay in that house like, rent free for like a good year. And that dude ended up backstabbing him. There was like, another guy where like, family friend, like, it was his son. And then my dad gave him like, an opportunity, even though he had like, not that many skills whatsoever for this type of position. And then he ended up backstabbing my dad and like, trying to like, take financials away from him and stuff through like, law and power. Such type stuff. But you know, it is what it is. Like, stuff happens, you know. But you know, my mom and dad, they had really good financial stability. And then they just came crashing down, you know. And like, they're still happy people, you know. They're just selfless because they know people and relationships and your morality. They play a big factor into your quality of life, you know, your morals. It gets really subjective, you know. Someone's going to have to listen to this and connect their own dots, you know. This is just from my own observations. Oops. I even got my own observations and they have their different observations. And it led to me to thinking some other things. Like, I don't even agree with my mom and dad, you know, like valuing way more much money than they do. Even though they're very successful. It just makes sense to me. Money is very important, you know? I'm not even going to lie. I'm just going to be very straight up. But I think from good intentions, though. It's not to go buy the Lamborghini or, like, flossed out diamond chains everywhere. This is supposed to buy me time and free space to think, you know? You know, I told you, like, I talk about family a lot, right? Well, what am I doing in Armenia then? If I don't have any family near me? It's the same thing when I moved to my first job in Texas. I had no family. I was supposed to build my own family foundation, like a nuclear family. That was my own sacrifice. There's like a trade-off with everything you do. You just go based on your intuitions, and most of the time it's risk. Some things are not going to go your way. When I moved to Texas, my first job at Lockheed Martin, six figures. It was great, right? It didn't work out because I got laid off. They did a company layoff. So then how can I build like a foundation there? I wasn't getting income anymore and some other things. Like, I sacrificed a year and a half hardly seeing my family.
Did that feel worth it?
Well, I don't regret taking the risk. I had to see what it was like. I'm doing the same thing in Armenia right now. That's why I'm here for a year. I'm really just trying to find like, a better quality of life with me and loved ones around. Nuclear family too is a big one too. Because then I can start my own foundation here, you know?
Can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, so I'm sacrificing. The goal is I'm in Birthright Armenia, right? And I told the team and pretty much everyone around me that I'm going to stay here for a year. Bought a one-way ticket, not planning to go back anytime soon. Because I'm trying to really depict, hey, I could actually spark up some things here. Even besides a family, kids, I could have a good purpose helping my own mother country out. Even potentially get even better financial stability. The way everything is so cheap here, you know? Compared to Los Angeles, which is like extremely expensive. I'm still trying to figure out if I could spark something up here. Like I said, family, the purpose of what I do as in work, mission. And then maybe if I have enough leverage financially, I can just bring, you know, the whole family here. Maybe even some loved ones too. As you can tell, I'm pretty optimistic and ambitious about it, but I feel like you always gotta shoot forward at things, you know? You just gotta be like a little bit crazy, you know? Just a little bit. That's me.
So you said that your motivation in terms of being financially secure is positive. I think it's probably both positive and negative because whatever we do in life, we have mixed motivations, I think.
That's true. I agree.
And you also said earlier that you have an addictive personality.
Very.
Yes.
ADHD.
Really?
Yeah.
You have ADHD?
Yeah. It wasn't prescribed to me.
But you think
I 100% know I have ADHD. But it's not even like a bad thing anymore. People love to flex like I'm a little bit autistic. I have a little bit ADHD. It's not even a bad thing anymore. If anything, you can really use that to your advantage.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I had auditory processing delay. Could I use that to my advantage? No. It's just, it is what it is, you know? I like to speak the truth, whether people like it or not, even myself, even if I like it or not.
My question is, with there being mixed motives to everything that we do in life, how are you guarding yourself to ensure that your desire for money will stay self-sacrificial and people-oriented, family-oriented, rather than becoming greedy, essentially, or seeking power or more negative motivations, taking the control seat?
Yeah, great question. In the future, I would have no idea. I would have to figure that out. But as of now, if I were to become, let's say, like, I don't know. Can I say millionaire?
Yeah.
But then it's like millionaire is too broad. What type of millionaire? Let's say I have the power to buy myself a really, really, really nice house. Top of the line, top 1%. The car is top 1% in Armenia. How would I be able to get that? Depends. Do I have to hurt people and get through my way with it? No, I'm a really nice person. If it's going to take someone to really screw over someone like that, then it's not worth it. Because it's going to be really hard to live with that, you know? No, financials, of course, is important. But your morality and you having good relationships because you're confident, you know you're a good person, is more important, in my opinion. But like I said, I'm really trying to optimize that without being a bad person. That financial aspect in my life.
What motivates your morality? Where do you get your morals from?
Oh, like who do I get them from?
Who, or like how? Where? It seems to be a big driving factor.
Like I said, like my mom and dad are the nicest people. They're too nice that I've seen people take advantage of them. And it sucks, you know? Like, ask yourself this. Like, how would you feel if your mom and dad are really nice people trying to help others because they've been in situations that they've been, and then they go ahead and backstab them or take advantage of them or be very mean? That's like undeserved, in my opinion. Like, how would you feel, you know? So I'm asking because I'm still trying to figure out the question too, really. Sometimes I feel like us nice people have to really be guarded up, you know? This is what also ties back too, because when I get too vulnerable, I'm always looking out to see if people are going to stab me or... Because when you're in such a vulnerable state, I believe if someone affects you there, it's going to hurt a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's your guard up, it doesn't hurt. I'll give you an analogy. When like I was doing MMA and you don't have your guard up and someone punches you in your wrist or your forearm, it doesn't hurt. Imagine you have no guard now and someone punches you straight to your face, your nose, your brain. Same thing applies mentally.
Yeah.
I feel like being a good person, helping people out, makes you feel better. Why wouldn't you want to feel good about yourself, you know? It goes back into feeling secure about yourself. Why would I want to be insecure and be mad all the time? You're going to fall into a state of anxiety and depression, in my opinion.
So security financially, security morally, security... In terms of relationships, can you think of other parts to security that you value in your life?
Well, if I say food, that kind of ties into hell.
Can you elaborate food security?
Okay, so a little background of me. My mom was a former nutritionist. The reason why she became a nutritionist is because she didn't care about her health before and she just didn't know. She didn't have the knowledge and then it caught up to her. She was getting things like, I'm not going to say too specific, but there are well-known autoimmune diseases. And like, I've grown up seeing those autoimmune diseases. Same thing with my dad, but he doesn't care. When you grow up and you see stuff like that, and there's just one spark, like my mom being a nutritionist, saying like, okay, you want to grow up, have all these medical conditions and stuff, you not want to feel good and always feel angry, then that thing's going to scar you. Or make you realize, okay, health is the number one thing, you know? You just gotta do basic stuff too. Like, I'm saying this and I'm in my mid-20s. I was saying this even when I was 19, 20. And I was lucky too because my dad forced me to play soccer. And like soccer, you have to keep a healthy lifestyle. You're running for 90 minutes. You're constantly dehydrated. People body you. They slide tackle you. They cleat you. You have no choice. So, yeah, I mean, I like keeping like a healthy lifestyle too. Exercising releases good chemicals in your brain. Dopamine and I forget the other one. Is this serotonin? I couldn't tell you. I don't know. It releases good chemicals. Like, I feel good. I feel like I'm very privileged, even though it was a huge suffering seeing my parents. Even in soccer, too, like, I had to catch up physically as well. This suffering was like a blessing, you know, because I'm always now on top of my health. I'll walk into a room and I think, okay, I'm the healthiest and like I feel like the best here. It sounds messed up, but it's true. That's just how it goes. Like, I'll walk into a room with like 50 people and like I'll scout the place and I'm like, okay, like I feel really good here. I can breathe well. I have a lot of stamina here. I think straight. And it all has to do with simple things, really. Like, get your sleep in, drink water, get food that provides the nutrients that you need. That's the basic stuff. But also, like, be a good person and have good relationships around you too, because these are all pillars that makes a good quality of life. Relationships, food, sleep, family, your job, what you do on your free time. Even like 10 minutes is very important. What are you going to do in the 10 minutes when you have your break? You go on Instagram and scroll. You can go on TikTok and scroll. Or you can read the news, or you could just like, listen to good music. Choice is yours, really. So, and what was the question again?
About the different types of security that you value.
Yeah, so these pillars, if I make these secure and I create rhythms and patterns, it will eventually create like stability for me. And that's going to increase my quality of life. I value that a lot.
Yes, are you skeptical about stability in general? Because as you were sharing with your parents, they had financial stability and then it came crashing. Do you think that in all of these areas things could go wrong without any logical reason? Is that just how life works?
Yeah, 100%. That's how life works. I don't even have to think about that. Yeah. Like, life hits you in the funniest ways. I had a really stable job at a defense company, and security clearances are hard to get. It's really hard firing people. And guess what? The most stable jobs in the US especially, and I got affected by it. But I really feel like it was meant to be. I was meant to get laid off so I can meet cool people like you and like get to reconnect with my motherland. Because if I just stuck with that job, I'd be stuck in life. I wouldn't get to see other things, you know? I really do feel like everything happens for a reason. And I know most of y'all disagree with me, but I'm probably going to take that to the grave with me. I don't care what you say. Everything happens for a reason. I'm sorry to tell you. You can try to change it, but you know, deep down, it's already pre-written in your life. Sorry. That's just how I think. I could be wrong, though, but I would love for someone to challenge me on that aspect.
That everything happens for a reason?
Yeah. I would love to know. I love a good challenge, to be honest.
You have to be more specific.
So, like I said, I got laid off. I was providing financial stability, and now I had no job. But, like, it was meant to be, because I wouldn't have known about Birthright Armenia.
Yeah.
Why would I not have known about Birthright Armenia? Because I was trying to learn the language while also job hopping, too, so I wouldn't get burnt out. So I really do feel like everything is meant to be, and I would love for someone to critique or challenge me on that aspect.
I would say it's more nuanced than that, because things happen in life that are evil. And if you say everything is meant to be, I don't think necessarily these evils were meant to be, but I believe that they can be redeemed. So my perspective, I would say redemptive suffering. Even in my own life, there's been so much that I've been through as well, a lot of suffering, and I see it as a blessing. Definitely. But the only reason I see it as a blessing is because I've come through the other side, and because those wounds, although they're still there, but there's a redemption at the same time as my redemption. Woundedness, like a double redemption and woundedness. But if there wasn't the redemption, it would just be woundedness, and it would seem so bizarre to me why those things were even allowed to take place, because I think that there can be evils in life as well. That I think saying everything was meant to happen for a reason, it makes it a little hard to justify evil. But I think if you say that everything can be redeemed, then that allows you to have a perspective on your own life, that those sufferings had a purpose, but also that not every suffering necessarily is purposeful, because sometimes the weight of the suffering overpowers the redemption, if the redemption doesn't even exist. If that makes sense, Edwin.
Can I clarify something really quick? Let me ask you this. Do you believe in regrets?
What do you mean, do I believe, though?
Do you believe people should have regrets in life?
I think that's how it happens. It's normal. The older you get, I can't tell people not to have regrets. But I'm not someone who generally regrets things because I see everything as one continual breath. So for me to regret anything, I mean, it's one breath. So it would be me taking that breath away. But I'm still in that breath.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I feel like I had that same perspective.
Yeah.
Somewhat. Wait, then that doesn't really answer my question. Are you saying that there's just some things that life can hit you and you can never recover from?
No, I basically think that it depends if you've made it to the other side or not. But this is bringing my faith into it. So I've made it to the other side. Therefore, even though there are things in my life that complete evil, it's not as though it was meant to be, because horrendous things that I've witnessed, and you can say this generally for bad events in history. And I wouldn't say that was meant to be, but I think if you've made it to the other side, then you will have experienced redemption. And it's the lens of redemption and the fact that your wounds have been bandaged, but they're still half open. That's what makes things purposeful when you evaluate history.
I'm really trying to clarify what you're saying, because I'm listening to you. I'm really trying to understand where you're coming from. So yes. Like when you say make it to the other side, don't you think making it to the other side can be subjective?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Can you give me an example, please?
It's if you made it to the other side, you have a relationship with God.
I see.
And you've been enlightened and transformed. I don't think that's subjective, because I think that happens through the same way for each person, because I believe in one God.
See, when I think of the other side, I think you've lost everything, like your home, your kids, the people around you. But, like, you're still alive, though, you know? You still can think. You still can figure out a way to make your situation just a little bit better. Maybe that would be not stressing out the things you can't control. Like, okay, I lost my house, which is very unfortunate. I lost my kids, very unfortunate. It does happen, which is very unfortunate. That's life. But, like, one step you can take, if I was in that shoes, is to just really try and find a peace of mind. I can't really put myself in the shoes. It wouldn't be fair of me. I don't even know anyone that's been in my shoes. Like I said, making it to the other side is still very subjective to me. If it's faith and believing in the universe or God, as you say, then I feel like that's going to be the case regardless, as long as you're alive, you know?
But I think it's different to your example. If your example is someone having lost everything, you're saying you can still think. Yeah, you can still think, but that takes time. If you've really lost everything, I think the first step, the first kind of log will be actually decaying and getting worse before you get better. If you've really lost everything, it's just you.
Like you're homeless. You lost everything and you need things to cope with, but those things that you cope with ruin you in the long term. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think you have to go through a period of, well, not you have, it's just how it works, is that you end up despairing and being completely crushed before the metamorphosis of, okay, well, actually, I can think and I'll try and find my peace of mind in this. I think if you're really on the other side, and that's how you define the other side, as having lost everything, then I think before the space for thinking, before that is the despairing, which naturally happens. Because you're so low that you can't possibly bounce back. It takes time. You can bounce back, but the first stage...
It's
going to
take like a lot of time. Yeah,
the first stage.
A lot of effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then tie it back to finding the other side, you know? That's why I say it's so subjective.
My other side is the total opposite. It's like you've gained everything.
Really?
It's like letting... What is it? So in the Bible, for example, it says that he who loses his life finds his life. So I think it's like you're laying down your life flat on...
Oh, you start from fresh, basically.
The old man is dead and you receive a new man. Literally a transformation, like everything.
That is true, and I do see where you're coming from. You know, it's just funny because I had a very close family friend when I was growing up with.
Yeah.
Not even family friend. This was like family, right? I'm going to give an anecdote here. Hopefully it ties into what you're saying. This guy had freaking everything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Besides even the money. And besides looks and materialistic things. Everyone adored this person.
Mm.
I'm just going to say off the textbook. Tall, handsome, rich, wealthy. Everyone adored him, famous. He had everything in my book. All right. And then
It just took one mistake of doing that coping mechanism thing to just literally crumble this person's entire life, which is very unfortunate. So this person lost his mortgage, his wife, his kids. Very close person. I'll give you a hint. This was one of my parents' siblings. So uncle. And he lost everything. And then when you're saying this person had a new book, he actually managed to revive himself, but he got very, very, very lucky. It just took one person in the family to just get him up on his shoes back, provide a room temporarily with some food, and he's sober now, which is good from what I heard, but he's working two jobs. One is grocery store person, and the other one is a gas station, so... Yeah. This is just something that just really opened up my eyes. Can you look at it? This person just started from scratch. Maybe not this example. This person started a new chapter, in my opinion. Not like full-on book. I feel like full-on book is very extreme case, you know?
Mm.
Like, you put down that first book and you have like a second book. Like, I don't when think I think
it's
of
that
like.
Uncommon. If you think about the author of the book, if you thought that the author of the first book is yourself, when you realize that it's actually not yourself, then you've moved on to book two.
Let me clarify myself.
Mm.
When I feel like you start a new book, you forget about everything else.
But that's impossible. That's impossible. Like amnesia.
Yeah, you just forget who you are.
Oh, so
I feel like your
negative.
Book is your life. One book is one life. Unless you forget your entire life and you start new.
So that would be a negative thing then. Why would you want a new book in your life if you forget everything?
You don't. It just happens.
Okay.
Like, you knock your head on like a wall. This is all subjective. This is just what I'm thinking at this moment of time.
Yeah.
It's very subjective. Sure, your new book is my chapter. This person is starting something new. That can be a good thing, of course. But like, I feel like, okay, I just want to clarify again, all right? So for what you said, let's take my uncle into this, for example, all right? What do you think of it? Just straight up. In your light of matter, it can be good, bad, like...
In terms of him being transformed?
Like his story, just like from the outside of what I just told you.
I think when you say that according to you, he had everything, I doubt that he had everything. I think from your perspective...
Chad, this is like outside checkbox.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I don't think checkbox everything is everything.
That's true.
My perspective, honestly, if you don't have God, then it doesn't matter how amazing you look to other people. How well life is going for you, because as in his story, something obviously not everyone's experience is so dramatic as getting addicted and everything that unfolds, but essentially we're all addicted to sin. So that's how I'm thinking of it. And then you're saying that now he is sober, so I'm really happy.
Yeah,
and
I am too.
Hope and pray that that lasts.
Yeah, you
that's
know.
That's my take.
You know. Let me clarify too. Yes, I see where you're coming from. I don't know what this person has went through.
Yeah.
You never know what someone is going through. Maybe he just lost his hope. Not only God, but the entire universe. Surely he lost his hope in God, right?
Mm.
And we didn't know. And that had a trickling effect to every aspect in his life. So, yeah, I don't know. I said this from an outside perspective. You know, at the end of the day, you really can't control a person's hope or how they think. It's going to be really hard even if you try to do that. But with this person, it was just an unfortunate situation. And I just do think it was meant to be. As messed up as it sounds, there is a purpose for everything. And he managed to survive from that situation. And it taught him a really, really, really big lesson.
It taught you or him?
Him and people around me. Him and me. Just observing that just taught me a really big lesson.
What was the lesson?
To have hope.
In?
Everything. God, universe. He just lost it somehow. I don't know how it happened.
How do you have hope? Because you have to place your hope in something.
Purpose.
Okay.
Mission.
Yeah.
Fulfillment.
So that you can stay focused?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what gives you the focus.
I wanted to say, to tie it all together, you know how we're discussing our different perspectives on whether everything happens for a reason? I think why I find my view helpful is in the case of your uncle. You wouldn't tell him as he's experiencing the dungeon side that everything happens for a reason, because they're not ready to hear that and it wouldn't make sense to them while they're in deep darkness.
Yeah, it's like a catch-22.
Yeah, but I think it's very hopeful for someone who is in deep darkness to tell them that redemption is possible. So it's more nuance. So you're not directly coming at them and saying everything happens for a reason. I don't think that's very hopeful. I think it's more hopeful to actually tie it more specifically to redemption and to say that even though you're in this darkness, it's possible to see the light, not necessarily jumping ahead too many steps that, okay, everything happens for a reason. I think you have to make it to the other side to have that perspective. Otherwise, while you're in the present darkness, it's just darkness. It's horrible. And it's good for you to recognize that it's horrible because you're being honest with yourself. You're not putting up a blind. You're actually processing the emotions, and that will make it easier to heal in the future because you've done all that processing work rather than avoiding the truth. And then it catches up on you later. And then you're like, okay, how am I even meant to process all of this? You know?
Yeah. Process overload.
Yeah.
Overstimulation.
Yes. Are you overstimulated now? That's ironic.
No.
You're not?
I'm having a great conversation. I'm learning a lot right now.
Okay.
So
am I.
Yeah. What was the question again?
I was just saying an observation, trying to say that my view is better than yours in terms of everything happening for a reason.
Yeah, you can think that. That's totally fine, you know?
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to reflect after this, so.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yes. We can wrap up soonish. We've talked about so many topics. We started with well-being and then health. We talked about sacrifice, about everything happening for a reason, family, probably more stuff. My question is, if possible, because it might be difficult, how would you tie this all to home, which is what the podcast is about? Like, if you can make any concise-ish connection.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have to be concise. You can be vague and messy as well.
So, just to recap, right? All of what I'm saying, most of it does tie to the home from the top of my head. Because I told you, people are sometimes even homeless.
Yeah.
Sometimes that home, quote-unquote, is toxic.
Yeah.
They have no thinking space.
Mm.
Sometimes at home is like you gotta move constantly. Like Texas, Armenia, you have no family around you. Like even, not even physically, like even they don't have time or you don't have time to text them. So my point of what I'm saying was all these pessimistic and optimistic views. I feel like one of the biggest drives is to make the best home I possibly can. Even if I'm constantly moving, even if my home is a tent, I'm still going to make the best out of it. And I have to figure that out.
Best for you ties to a sense of purpose, right?
My home, which will lead to the people around me, having like a family, or like your mom, your dad, your siblings, your cousins around you. I have to figure out the best scenario from what I know and the tools around me to make the best home that I can. Even if I'm homeless, even if I live in a tent, I still have to figure out a way to make that the best. Because life can put you in these very unfortunate situations.
Mm.
Even if it's not your choice. Well, choice is subjective. You can have hope, believe in God and the universe, and life will happen regardless, in my opinion. So, you just keep pushing forward. You just stay, what's the word? My mom tells me this all the time. Resilient.
Stay resilient.
Stay resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Your home is you. That's what I'm trying to say.
Your home is you. Okay.
You are the home.
Okay.
I know it sounds corny, but you are the home.
Because your physical body, you mean? Your existence?
Yeah. That's home. That all ties into health, well-being, and people around you.
And purpose.
Yeah, purpose falls into it too. Purpose is the driver. It's the metronome.
That's very concise.
Yeah. This is is why I love comedy, man.
You can promote.
It's the blue steam.
Do you want to promote her highest?
Yeah, so my colleagues and I, shout out Serena, shout out Savon, shout out Harag, shout out myself. We're trying to bring laughter into the Armenian community. I hope people can relate. And we have big, big, big projects from all of us. I'm going to go talk to Serena about this. I have another project in mind. But we want to spread influence and show the cool, funny, positive sides of people in Armenia and Armenian things. So right now it's Haha Hayastan, but sooner or later you might think of it as Hayastan Productions or Hayastan LLC. We'll see where things go. But other than that, Serena, I really appreciate this. This was great. You have to give me the copy to this because I'm going to be jogging. I'm going to be listening to these conversations or whenever I have the time.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate it.